please turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we're going to read verses 13 through 17 together. We'll read this passage responsively. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. All right, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Let's read this passage responsively. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And let's finish on verse 17. Ready? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, it doesn't matter what problem we have. It has the answer. We might not know where it's at in its pages. We might not even know it if we read it, but the Holy Spirit can help us find it. And I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, we have a truth today. You and I have worked on together this week to give to your people. I wished I could tell them that it would be a good sermon. Probably won't be, but it's a fantastic truth. It'll change their life. And I pray that you just help. Bless in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I need your attention this morning. Some of what I'll say today will be a bit, I'm going to use the word humorous, a little bit lighter than normal. But the truth that will be preached is very, very heavy, very, very deep. Now, I'm going to start with a statement to let you know where my thinking was. And even where the basic premise of this truth came from, other than the Bible, and then we'll jump into the sermon. Recently, I was counseling, and I don't even remember who I was counseling at the time. But as I was counseling them, they had a need, and I used the basic premise of this sermon with them. And I thought, you know, I ought to preach that someday. I've used it several times in the last few months, and maybe it would be good for everyone. And I began to work on it. And this week, the Lord made me realize this is the time. My dear friend and former pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, of course, he just an amazing man of God, pastored the world's largest Sunday school, authored 44 books, sermon tapes and CDs all over the world at the gazillions of them. Just an amazing fella. In one of his books that I read over 30 years ago was a chapter, and anybody that's read his books, you'll recognize this title. But the thought is this: don't rush the washing machine. Don't rush the washing machine. Now, that sounds very strange to you. I'm going to explain it, and then I'm going to preach to you for a little while. I didn't take his book and pull it out and say, okay, this is point number one, this is point number two, this is point number three. I'm applying it in many different ways than which he did, but the basic truth is what I want you to get today. Have you ever noticed all of the different cycles on a washing machine? You know, you open the lid, you throw the clothes in there. Men, you're supposed to put all the whites in at one time, all the coloreds in at another time, not just throw them all in. But you throw the clothes in there, you put the soap in there. If you got fabric softener, there's a spot for that. If you got bleach, there's a spot for that. You put everything in the right place, you turn it to the wash cycle, and you either push or pull the button, and everything starts up. It starts filling. After it fills up, then the agitator, that's what I would be in life, an agitator. But the agitator starts wringing those clothes and working it back and forth, getting the soap going and getting the clothes around that thing and corkscrewing down and working. And then all of a sudden it goes into a spin cycle and all the water goes out. And then After it spins, it fills back up and soaks for a while, and then it agitates again to get the soap out of the clothes with the clean water, and then it spins again, and then after it spins again, it fills up and soaks a little longer to get them clean, and then it starts going out and it starts spitting water and starts getting the water all the way out so that you can take them out and dry them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, I say that to say this. If you skip any of that process, your clothes will not be clean like they should be. If you put the clothes in with all the soap and then you pull them out before it drains the soap, you're going to have soapy clothes. If you skip the spin cycle and go to the refill cycle, you're going to have water everywhere. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you start skipping cycles in the washing machine, things don't come out the way they are supposed to come out. They won't be clean. They won't be right. Did you ever have your wash machine not drain all the way and you got to pull them clothes out and they're just dripping wet and they weigh about 14,000 pounds and you're trying to wring them out by hand? Isn't it amazing how fast that thing goes around, how much water comes out? Thank God for the modern washing machine. Now, that is the basic truth. Let me apply it. Life is much the same way. Life is divided into many, many different cycles. For instance, I'll call these stages of life. You have infancy. You have childhood. You have the teen years. You have the college age. You have the young adult. You have the middle age. You have the senior citizen. Now, here's the thing. So many times in life, you're in one part of life and you want to skip a cycle and go to another one. Somebody that's about 6-7 years old, they can't wait to be a teenager. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then you got teenagers that are in junior high and early high school that can't wait to be driving and be college age. And then you got college students that want to be out of college and be young adults and in their careers and doing what they're doing. Then you got people that are middle-aged that wish they were back being teenagers again. We're wanting to skip all the different cycles. Y'all see where I'm headed with this thing? but may I tell you something? If you skip cycles, your life doesn't come out right. That's why you don't see senior citizens riding children's tricycles. I said senior citizens, not middle age, Ron. But that's why you're in the hospital. I mean, at the doctor so much. If you quit riding them tricycles. Now, I say that to say this. That's why adults don't drink out of baby bottles. Now, did you ever try to do that? I used to do that when I was a youth director. I'd have contests and pull teenagers up and put juice or something in a baby bottle and give them a little bit of time, and they had to suck that stuff out of there. It's amazing how fast a baby can do it, and we can't. Man, they can drain them puppies like that. And once you get past that infant stage, you can't drain a baby bottle like that anymore. You say, how do you know? I've tried it. It just doesn't work. That's as frustrating as it comes. And by the way, that's why, generally, a teenager doesn't walk with a cane to steady themselves. You know, Malachi didn't come in with Wally's cane this morning just to steady himself because he was unsure. We often have these different stages of life, and we're not to mix them up. Now, just as it's foolish in life to reach ahead at stages, it's also foolish to reach back for stages. Because if you're living in one stage and trying to get to another or reaching back to one that you've already come through, can I tell you something? Your life isn't going to come out right. I'm going to make a statement here, and parents, back me on this one. You'll thank me for it later. That's why teenagers shouldn't date. They're in one stage wanting to be in another stage of life, and it's too soon. Don't rush the wash machine. It's equally foolish to reach back and try to live a certain part of life over. That's why 60-year-olds shouldn't have ponytails riding Harley motorcycles. Right, Jimbo? He got rid of the ponytail, but he still got... Now, you know, that's why you got these 60 and 70-year-old hippies. They're trying to live like they did 40 years ago. You go to Colorado and watch all these, and I'm sorry, but these older people, 60s, 70s years old, protesting that they can't get their marijuana free or whatever. They're protesting for... You say... Why are these old people doing it? Because those are the hippies from the 60s. They're wanting it legalized. They've been doing it illegal so long, they want it legalized. And by the way, they're the ones running the government now. Now, I see in life, and I see in Christianity, people who are trying to rush the wash machine. I see people who are trying to change the cycles before it's time for it to change cycles. I want us to be our cleanest. I want us to be our best. I want God to use us the best he can. I'd like to live my life as productive as I can and do as much for God as I can. So if I am to do that, I'm not supposed to be rushing the washing machine or changing the cycles on the washing machine. I want to give you about three or four things today and about this. Number one, do not reach ahead or skip cycles. Do not reach ahead or skip cycles. How many times have you heard somebody say, boy, I wished I could go back and do that all over again? Did you ever meet somebody that was in their 50s or 60s and they said, boy, I wished I was 20 years younger? Man, I don't wish I was 20 years younger at all. I'm going to be 50 next May. Can I tell you something? I would not want to be 29 years old again. I've learned enough about life. I don't want to go back and do all that again, Brother June. Good night. Now, physically, I wish I was a little more like I was when I was 29 than I am at 49. But I don't want to go back through all the different things I had to go through when I was 29. I see people in there 30 saying, boy, I wish I was a teenager again. There is no way, there's not enough money in the world to be a teenager twice. No way, Jose. Let me show you what I mean. Too many people want something before it's time to have it. You take a little three-year-old. They want to be a big boy or a big girl. They want to do what their big brother, big sister's doing that's 8 or 9 or 10 years old. They're trying to skip a cycle of life. It's real bad if you got multiple children and one starts driving and the other's a couple years behind. Oh, my soul. That one that's just 2 or 3 years behind, they can't wait to drive. Can I do it? Nope. It's no fair. They get to do everything. I don't get to do anything. You all been through that, haven't you? let me change gears out of children. That's why God says you should get married before there's a physical relationship. When you start a physical relationship before you're married, it's sinful, and God says don't rush that. That's one reason I believe teenagers shouldn't date, because you start passions in them they cannot express unless they do it sinfully. Why do we want to press those passions on young people? Y'all know what it's like. Why do we want to keep pushing it? And yet our government wants to teach sex education all the way down to kindergarten. Everybody doing all right? Okay, this is another one. Somebody that pushes the button on the fryer at McDonald's wants to make $15 an hour. And it's not fair that the owners make lots of money, and the guy that stands there that puts frozen French fries in a basket, pushes a button, drops it in the oil, waits for the button to beep so that they pull them back up because they're not smart enough to watch a clock, tells them that it's supposed to be, and they want $15 an hour to do that. Well, we can't make a living. Well, who intended you to make a living putting French fries in a fryer basket waiting for a beep to go off? That's why it's called an entry-level job. God did not, you're not intended to be a professional French fryer the rest of your life. Those are jobs for entry level, teaching mainly young people
a work ethic so that they show up to work on time, be there, do their job so that they can get through their schooling and education and hopefully get enough character about them so they could go out and get a better job. Do you know, I hate to tell you something, every time they raise the minimum wage, everything in this country goes up in cost. Fewer people are being employed.
You say, why? Because the cost is going to be passed down all the way across the board. Now, can I tell you something? My first job that I actually, other than mowing grass and shoveling snow and trimming hedge and raking leaves and raking yards and shoveling dirt and gravel and anything else I could get my hands on to do. But my first official job, I worked in a little restaurant for a little Greek fella making pizzas and delivering pizzas. Worked my way up into working in the kitchen and doing it. Went from there to working as a 17-year-old. I started working at a place called Mr. Steak Restaurant. And by the time I was 17, I was the head line cook for a national chain restaurant. And at that time was quote-unquote fine dining and ran the grill. 17 years old. I worked my way up. Oh, by the way, I was making $2.30 an hour. I did that till I left for college. I worked another part-time job working for the Friendly Restaurant Corporation for a while. Then when I went to college, I got a job working at a bus company, propane and buses, up at the Kickert Bus Company. My job was to make sure the tires were up on the bus and make sure they were filled with propane. Propane comes out in a liquid form at about negative 120. So it's cold stuff, and you don't spray that stuff on you because your fingers will freeze and crack and break off. I mean, it's nasty stuff. Wait a minute. I did that for a little while. I had a couple other jobs, and then I got a job working in a machine shop. Spent 3 years working in a machine shop. Then I jumped into the ministry full time. Can I tell you something? I thank God that I learned how to work at an entry-level job. I did. That's what it was for. It taught me the character to show up. Now, America has become this way financially. We want something before we have the ability to have it. It's called credit cards. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay, there we go. Instead of oh me. We have enabled ourselves to buy now, pay later, instead of save now and pay when you get the money. And I hate to tell you something, America is in trouble financially. We think if we don't have all five credit cards maxed out that we're not successful in life. And just because you have a credit card doesn't mean you should go out and do it. Now, we're always wanting the new and the improved. We've got to have the newest gadget, toy. We're iPhone, I don't know what number came out. Is it 7? Just came out. Everybody's saving up to get iPhone 8 already, and it hadn't even been developed yet. Well, I got a 5, and I upgraded to a 5. You say, preacher, you're so far behind. Yeah, but my bills aren't so far behind. Amen. My bills are paid. Amen. Well, you could have so much. It doesn't matter what I could have. I'm affording what I do have. Exactly. I'm able to make the payments on what I do have. We have this buy now, pay later mentality, and that's rushing the wash machine. We're skipping cycles. There used to be something called layaway. Y'all know it? You grayheads and skinheads know what I'm talking about. I didn't say laid up. I said layaway. Layaway was you went and found what you wanted, and they held it in a room in the back of the store, and you came and made either weekly or monthly payments on it till you paid it off, and then you got the article. Yep. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's a foreign concept anymore. layaway is a whole lot better. By the way, most of the time it was zero interest. But you didn't get it until you paid it off. That's a whole lot better policy than, let's just pull out the charge card, we'll charge it, and then I'll pay 29.5% interest on it and pay for it three times by the time I get it paid off. But I got that new coat, or I got that new toy, or I got that new tool. I got it. Yeah, and you paid an awful lot more for it than you should have. Now, that's what welfare is. Welfare is getting that which is not yours to get without working for it.
Right.
Neither well nor fair.
Good.
Now, I'm not angry. I just want you to understand it's rushing the wash machine. God says if you don't work, don't eat.
Amen.
I think anybody that has welfare ought to get a job that we supply for them. There's plenty of things that people could do. And we won't go there. All right? Now, people have a spiritual mentality, and spiritually speaking, they want to skip cycles in their spiritual life. Let me show you what I mean. The first thing you have to do to become spiritual is get saved.
Amen.
Man is body, soul, and spirit. Without being saved, your body and soul, and you have no ability to be spiritual because your spirit is dead. When a person gets saved, their spirit is reborn. That's what the new birth is. You get regenerated or regeneticed spiritually so that your spirit can live forever. Because of our sin, it's destined for hell and it's dead in its trespasses and sins. Now listen very carefully here. So the foundation is salvation. Just recently, somebody sent me a something on my phone. I don't remember if it's an email or a text. And it's Mike Pence, the vice presidential candidate running with Mr. Trump. Mike Pence is a good man. Mike Pence is a saved man. In this video, he gives his testimony how he got saved when he was a freshman in college. And how that and he was using terms that you and I would understand spiritually. Man, I got done listening to that. I always knew he was a decent man, heard he was a Christian. I got done with that. I thought, man, there's hope.
Amen.
But I want you to realize he made a very wise statement. He said, the problem in our American government today is not the government, it's our churches and our Christian people.
Amen.
He couldn't have said it better. I mean, he nailed it. We blame the government for all the problem, but the problem's been the church and the preacher all along because they've been too afraid to tell the truth.
Amen.
We quit soul winning, quit preaching the truth, and allowed the government to take the place of the church. Now look what we've got. It's been the preachers who didn't have enough backbone. They got the backbone of a piece of cotton candy, afraid to tell the truth. We'd rather rewrite the Bible and look like the world and skip cycles to be spiritual. We think because something tingled and went up and down our spine that we're spiritual. Can I tell you something? I've had tingles up and down my spine that weren't spiritual. Amen, Miss Mung? Last Sunday, or a week or so ago, she was sitting in the car and she didn't see me coming up. I got beside her window and I went on the side of the car right next to her ear. Her head hit the top of their SUV. It took me a while to get away from her because she was coming after me. And Brother Wiley's over there going, oh, that was funny, preacher. She didn't think it was funny, but we sure did. Now, she had a tingle. And it went up and down her spine. But it wasn't spiritual, let me tell you. You didn't see them eyeballs looking at me. Now, wait a minute. That's why man wants to use good works to get saved. He's trying to skip a process. Your good works do not get you to heaven. That's man trying to clean himself up to be good enough to get there. Guess what? You can't clean up enough. It reminds me of the old black lady down south. Sorry, Miss Kim. But she had 10 kids. One of them fell in the tar bucket. That little boy fell in the tar bucket, and she picked him up, and she looked at him, and she just stuffed him back down. She said, it'd be easier to have another one than to clean you up.
I'm sorry. That's the way a lot of us are, and that's what God says about us. You can't clean yourself up enough to get out of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
All right, hang in there. That's what getting baptized to get to heaven. That's something you do. I don't care if you get baptized in every church till you know every tadpole in every creek. You're still not going to heaven. Baptism does not get you saved. Do I believe in baptizing? Yes, I do. But it's an act of obedience after you've been saved. It has nothing to do with going to heaven. Oh, the big thing now is, oh, well, you got to have your, you got to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost to know what your spiritual gift is. Guess what? The moment you got saved, you got filled by the Holy Spirit. He moved into your life. You were sanctified at salvation. You don't do anything to get sanctified. You are sanctified. Now, we are to live out sanctification, which means a setting apart, and that's separation. But, may I say this, being filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you jump up and down and wave your arms and feel good and sway to the music and say, oh, can't you just feel the Spirit? There's times I haven't felt Spirit, but I knew I've been spiritual. I've felt evil spirits before. Does that mean I should feel that way too? Just get around Hillary. You'll feel an evil spirit. I mean, sorry.
All right. Let's not push people or skip ahead in cycles of our life with our relationships.
Do you know, sometimes we want to skip cycles. Let me show you what I mean. Every dad in here that was a sports nut wants his son to be the next pro player. So they'll push and 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 push. And that kid may not even like the sport that you're pushing in. We push somebody else to live our childhood all over. That's why you got dads getting in fights at Little League games. Let me rephrase that. That's why you got moms getting in fights at Little League ball games. We want our little junior to be the best out there, and we're trying to live our life over through little junior. Can I tell you something? I love sports, and I'll say something about this tonight. I do. I love sports. But I've realized a long time ago, it's a game. I was glad the Cubs won the World Series, but I'm an Indians fan. I was stuck. Man, I grew up 60 miles from Cleveland Stadium. I was an Indians fan to the bone. But all the years I knew Brother Hiles, he kept saying, the year the Cubs win the World Series is when the Lord's coming back. Man, I stuck. Do I want the Indians to win or do I want the Lord to come back? I said, Lord, whatever it takes, I'll go for either one. Either way, I win. Amen? Do you know that I turned the game off of Game 7 and the sixth inning, went to bed the other night? I didn't find out till the next morning who won that ball game, and I really didn't care. Do you know my life didn't change because the Cubs won and the Indians lost? My life didn't change one little bit. My son said, Dad, you didn't stay up and watch it all? I said, no, why? It's just a stupid game. I said, I got to be fresh enough to help people tomorrow. I've got people depending on me. It's a whole lot more important than a stupid game. We want to go back and live something that's not ours. We want our wife or our husband to see life just as we see it. Did you know just because you see it some way doesn't mean it's the only right way? We want to try to skip cycles. And let me say this, holidays are coming. Some of you are going to be around lost or carnal family members. They're not going to understand you living like a Christian. They may participate in things and eat and drink things that you should not. And may I say this, live like a Christian, but don't get up and preach a sermon at all of them. You can kindly say, no, don't do that anymore. No, I don't participate in that anymore. You say, well, they don't understand. They don't have to understand. Eventually, they'll ask you, and you can tell them why and win them to the Lord. It's real easy. And they may be already saved, and, well, you just think you're such a goody two-shoes. No, I'm just doing what God said. You don't have to. I won't criticize you. You say, how do you know these things? Because I got family like that too, don't you?
Yep.
You ought to be pastoring a church and have family like that. It gets real exciting sometimes. Now, let's give everybody, let's not try to skip ahead. Next, and I really want you to listen to this statement. Do not reach back or try to redo cycles of life. I preached a sermon a year or so ago. You can't live life looking in the rearview mirror. When you drive only looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to crash. Can I tell you something? Too many people want to go back and go back to a cycle that they enjoyed, and they quit living in the present. Everybody doing okay? Just because you liked a certain part of life does not mean you should go back and do it again. Now, we are to add the new cycle to the old cycle of life. That's what makes life more enjoyable. Who wouldn't want to go back to being a kindergartner? No bills, all your food's provided for you, and you get to take a nap every day. You know, naps are wasted on the wrong people. It's the little shavers that have all the energy in the world and the old people that get naps. The people that are working hard every day, all day long, sun up, sun down, and past that, we don't get a chance to get a nap. Protesting. Naps are for the wrong people. Huh. Who wouldn't want to, those of you that are in your later years or middle years, who wouldn't like to go back to their 20s and the zest and strength of life that you had when you were in your 20s? Now, I'd like to have the strength. I just don't want to go back and do it all again. Part of the reason I don't have the strength now is because I used it all up back then. Who wouldn't like to have the fun and the frivolity of the teen years again, where life's a party every day, even if it's not intended to be? God says don't live in the past. By the way, this is why you've got adult ladies trying to dress like teen girls. Did you ever see some of these adult women, 60 years old, trying to dress like a teenager? Lord have mercy. They want to run around like they have their schoolgirl figure. Well, they've got it. It's just multiplied. I'm trying to be good here. It's just not coming out that way. You know, you can't go back and have any cycle of life over again and it be the same way anyway. Because the people that are there are not where you are. And you can't go back there anyway. You know, I'm 49 years old. As much as I would like to say, I think I could keep up with the teenagers and be a teenager again, there ain't no way. Now, I love being around teenagers. Brother Stoltz knows what I'm talking about. I know how to tease teenagers, junior hires, high schoolers, you name it. When they hit junior high, you start talking about boogers and snot and vomit and all these gross things, and they love it. The grosser it is, the better it is. And I know how to do it. And I know how to embarrass them and make it okay. They get into the high school years and they think they have arrived. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it's fun thinking, showing them how that they think they've arrived and show them where they ended up isn't where they thought they were. Yeah, buddy. And I understand that. This is why you've got adult men who are now what they call gamers, trying to act like a kid. They play video games by the hour. They lose their jobs because of playing video games. They play them at home. They don't have a relationship with their family unless it's, I got to get to the next level of this game. Lord have mercy. I started working not playing video games long time ago. Now, I'm not against you doing it from time to time, but if you're addicted to a stupid video game, throw the stupid thing out and get a job. Go spend time with your family. You can't go back. Let me make this statement. Past is past, and that time can never be spent again. But you can live off of its investment, or you can starve off what you didn't invest.
I can't live off of my teen years. They were too long ago. But can I tell you something? As a teenager, somebody taught me to invest my life, and I'm now making interest on what I invested and gaining from how I lived. But I'm not going back to do it again. I started preaching when I was 13 years old. I've invested. I've done a lot of things. I've reached a lot of people. God's used me. I went to Bible college and God used me there. Been in the ministry a long time. My wife and I have couples we reached who are now on the mission field. We've got folks that are in the ministry full time that God used us to help train and reach. We've got folks that are deacons and good solid people in churches all over this country because God used us. I can't live off of that, but guess what? It sure has built up a bank account that where there's a lot of interest being paid on it. And I can use some of that to help me keep going forward, but I can't go back and do those things again. It is impossible. Just like there are things that I may not have done that I should have done that I'm now struggling with maybe because I didn't do it back then and I got to do it now. You know, there comes a point in time where you got to start putting money away for retirement. You're not going to live with your MasterCard till you're 90 years old. Everybody doing all right? Somebody say amen. Brother Hiles has been dead for 15 years. Don't you think I enjoyed working with Brother Hiles? But if I would have stopped 15 years ago, what would have taken place? I'm glad on February 2nd, 2001, my life did not stop, even though his did. I decided I'd take that investment and build on it. He invested in me. I could use those things that I learned from him. And guess what? God's still seeing a whole lot of people get saved and reached. I can't go back and live it over, but I can use what I got while I was there as an investment for today so that I can keep on going and do more than I could have had I not been there. Our church will not make some of the mistakes Brother Hiles made because he made them and taught me how not to make them. I got the blessing of being at the end of his ministry. He looked at me one day. He said, I almost envy you. I said, why? He said, you have benefited from me making all my mistakes and fixing them. I said, yes, sir, I have. And I'm taking good notes. He said, good. He said, I wish more people would. So we can't jump ahead. We're not to look back. By the way, too many Christians are trying to go back and live off what they did. They're used to wuzzers. Well, I used to be at one time. Okay, what about now? Thank God you did it at one time, but what about now? Yeah, buddy. Number three, and I got to hurry. We need to keep the load balanced so we don't get all shook up and bounced around. How many of you have ever seen a washing machine when it got out of balance? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, my soul. It's worse than Elvis getting all shook up. I remember one day my wife was doing some kind of comforter or something in the washing machine. We had that thing all wound up in there. And all of a sudden, it sounded like World War III hit the laundry room. I heard, man, there's stuff going everywhere. There was stuff flinging off of the dryer. That thing was shake, rattle, and roll everywhere. It's bouncing across the floor. I say, what'd you do, preacher? I pulled the stupid plug. I couldn't get to the little button because it's going. I just pulled the dumb plug. Got out of its way. My wife said, what's the matter? I said, it's out of balance. I said, I'll guarantee all that stuff got crammed onto one side of that tub in there. I said, we just got to pull it out and rewind it in there. We did. 10 minutes later, after you find all the pieces to the washing machine and the dryer and put it back in place and get it leveled out, plugged it back in, it picked up and do-do-do-do-do-do, just like everything was fine. Can I tell you what? Many Christians are living their life out of balance and they're shook up all over the place.
We live our life banging and crashing off everything because we're out of balance. Everybody doing okay? My bubble's in the middle. I'm balanced. Amen? Make sure you balance your life. Now, listen to this very carefully. Hey, man, listen to me. We got to be careful. We men are successful. You're good men, and you know how to work and work hard. Can I tell you something? You can't work your wife and your children like you work you. I call it work mode. You know, you get a busy day at work and you're just produce. And then you go home and you wonder why everybody in the house thinks you're some mean ogre right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You say, why? Because you never got out of that produce mode. You're ready to go chop wood, and then you got to fix this, and then you got to go do that. And I want everybody out there carrying 14,000 pounds of wood, and you got to do this, and then we're going to do this. And your wife's dragging. She can't pick up the first log, let alone everything that you just threw at her. And your kids think you're this mean ogre, and you never got out of work mode. I make sure every day when I go home, my drive home is my get into home mode mentality. I use that to get myself ready to be home. I cannot lead my wife like I lead me. I'll destroy her. I'm hard on me. I can go and go and go and go and go and go. My kids call me the Energizer Bunny. I just keep on going and go faster. And I thrive on that. My wife's not built that way. I can't work my wife like that. You say, why? Because God didn't make her to do that. God made me to do that. And I've got to be wise enough to balance it out. You say, why do you do that? Because I have a peaceful home and I enjoy my home. I got to get ready to be tackled by the dog when I walk through the door. I got that stupid little beagle. God bless her. And anybody that's ever had a beagle, you know what I'm talking about. You can be gone for 5 minutes, come back, and it's like you've been gone for 3 weeks. All right? They call it separation anxiety. And my dumb dog doesn't know how to do anything but lay on the floor right in the middle of the steps as you're walking up. And if you don't stop and pet her, you'll step on her. I just finally, get up there. And I finally made her wait, and she's still laying on the floor. And all that, you know, shut up. I'm not in mode to do that right when I walk through the door. I'm in the mode of, where's my wife? I want to kiss her on the mouth right now. Amen? I'll get to the dog later. I want the wife. Hang the stupid dog. Kick the dog, kiss the wife. Don't kick the wife and kiss the dog. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, them dog kisses are nasty. But at the same time, we've got to be careful that we don't just go into total play mode when we get home. There are some things that need, you know, if the toilet's leaking and the sink's blowing water out the spout and there's other things falling down, you're not supposed to say, well, I'm at home. I'm not here to work. It doesn't work that way. But be careful. You know, everybody listen to this. Did you know you're not supposed to take play mode or relax mode to work? That's why you got people playing video games at work. That's why you got people that are afraid to work. My dad and I were talking the other day about when he was working in the shop and stuff. And the men in the shop had this mentality. Don't fix that too fast. We got to work. And my dad got upset with him and said, look, if you don't make money for the boss, you won't have a job to work. The more we get this machine running, the more money's made, the more you're going to get paid, and the more work you're going to have. They didn't understand that. They thought, drag a job out for a week that can take 3 hours. That way you can keep getting paid for that job. No, you work and start making profit, you'll move up. Boy, that's good stuff. We're not supposed to take play mode to school. I think the worst thing we can do in our school system is teach kids to play too much. They need taught how to work. Everybody doing okay? May I say this? This is why the church is not supposed to be like the world. It's out of balance. If I came here and we played wild rock music or country western music,
Johnny Cash singing in the bar on Saturday night and singing in the church on Sunday morning kind of garbage. Everybody doing okay? I know I just hit some of your heroes. But we want to bring the world into the church so that we can relate to people better if we're more like what they are. God says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. These churches are out of balance. It's all, well, we've got to love, we've got to care, we've got to all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And nobody even knows what stupid Kumbaya means. Well, we just all have to get along. Good God, good devil, good day. Well, I hate to tell you something. I'm a little bit more like Billy Sunday. I think we ought to preach against sin. I think we ought to fight till we've worn our hands down to nubs. I think we ought to kick the devil till I don't have any feet left. I think we ought to bite him till I have no teeth left, and then I'm going to gum him to death for a little while.
Amen.
You can't love God unless you hate the devil. You can't love, listen to this, you can't love right till you hate sin. I've seen the end result of sin, and the more I see it, the more I hate it. The more I hate it, the more I'm going to preach against it because I love the people that are sinners.
Yes, sir.
I don't hate people. I hate sin.
Amen.
For some reason, the Lord has done something in the last 7 days. But I've come face to face with several of my enemies this week. I mean, face to face. You know, every one of them, I walked up and said, hey, brother, how are you? Stood there and talked to one for about 10 minutes.
Amen.
You two saw me talking to one, didn't even know it. Say why? I don't hate them. I love them. They don't agree with me, but that's okay. My wife and I were at a restaurant, and we came face to face with a couple that he doesn't like my internal organs at all. And I mean, viciously attacked by them. Say, what'd you do? Shook their hand, said hello. Was gracious to them. When they got up, because they were getting ready to leave, about time we got there, they came to our table and talked for a moment for the first time in years. I had somebody else with me at the time. When they left, they said, who's that? It happened to be Brother Arcola with me. I said, oh, it's somebody that doesn't... Somebody hates me. That's one of my enemies. He said, Brother Bush, you were very gracious. I said, I always will be. I said, I have nothing against them. I'm not their enemy. They feel that they're my enemy, but I don't feel like I'm their enemy. I just got word that somebody that doesn't care much for me is near, and I sent word to them that I love them and hope that I got to see them while they were around. Now, if they came to this church, you'd not know. It doesn't mean I'm going to have them teaching Sunday school next week either. But I'll be kind and gracious. I have decided I'm not going to live my life shaking and rattling like an old wash machine out of balance all over the place. They're living their life that way. I don't have to live mine that way. Everybody doing okay? By the way, this is why you need church. And this is why I believe you need all the church services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, even Sunday school. Can I tell you why? It'll balance all the negative that's coming into your life. You need that spiritual teaching, that spiritual fellowship, so that it balances all the unspiritual stuff you get all the time. Some of you listen to more news than you do preaching. That will unbalance your life. I'm for family time, but I know people that won't go to church to have family time, and that's out of balance. Everybody doing okay? I'm for work. But if you work 90 hours a week and you don't do anything with your family and you don't do much for God, what good is working 90 hours a week? Your life's out of balance. I believe in working 80, 90 hours a week for my life. But at the same time, I spend time with my wife. And I've spent time with my kids. And I've learned how to have fun. And I've learned how to enjoy certain things. You say, how do you get it all done? I get up early. I stay up late. I was at the office a little after 5 this morning. I've been here for 7 hours already. Can I tell you something? I believe in working hard. I'm not about to let the devil's crowd outwork me. If it's the work of the Lord, let's work it. I'm for it. And I've dedicated my life to it. I don't expect, though, Wiley to work his full-time job and then give God 80 hours a week. Shoot. He can't stay awake 80 hours a week, let alone do that. No. But I don't expect that. I don't expect Brother Stoltz to put as much time into the work here as I do. This is my job, as well as something I love doing. But I want everybody to be able to be here as much as possible and to do what they can to balance their life out. Everybody understand that? I'm for youth activities, but I'm also for young people that'll serve God and go soul winning. I believe parents ought to know where their kids are, but I didn't chaperone my children's activities. I didn't go to their sports game when I was their principal. You say, why? Because I was around them so much, they needed some balance in their life and do some things when I wasn't there. Shoot, I knew they had demerits before they knew they had demerits. They knew that. So I gave them different areas to do that I wasn't always watching over their shoulder so that they could balance their life out. And by the way, that's why my children as young adults, we all get along pretty well. You need balance in your life. Let me say this and I'm done. I'll be 50 years old in May. Do you know I'm not dreading the next part of my life? I enjoyed being a young person. You ask my mom and dad, I had fun as a kid. Man, I lived a good kid's life. I know what it's like to run your bicycle till you wore the tires down to where the metal tread is showing and they pop. I know what it's like to come skidding in with your bike and all of a sudden you hear your tire go pop because you were skidding your tires, amen? Then you got to walk your bike home that's 3 miles back. Or ride the rim and bend the rim and you didn't have the money to buy another rim. I enjoyed my teen years. I enjoyed college, but I don't want to go through that again. I enjoyed our young married life and I enjoyed our children when they were born. Somewhat. I enjoyed them growing up as small children. I enjoyed them as middle-aged children. Sometimes I enjoyed them as teenagers. But I did. I enjoyed my children's teen years. I'm enjoying them now as adults. Somebody said the other day, are you a grandpa? Nope. I said, we've got one in heaven. I said, Josh and Ruth Ann lost one, but not a grandpa yet here on earth. But you know what? When time comes, I'm going to enjoy some little toe-headed little critter looking at me saying, Papa or Grandpa or whatever. I'll enjoy it when it comes. The thought of it right now does not sound tasteful to me. I can't imagine being old enough to be married to a grandmother. But may I say this, I'm not dreading it. I'm not dreading being in my 50s. I didn't dread my 40s. I didn't dread my 30s. I decided I was going to enjoy each cycle of my life. I'm not going to go back and try to live them over. I'm not going to use them up and try to get ahead either. But may I say this, I'm not dreading it. I decided I'd live each day as it comes. And when I do have to slow down, maybe I'll have enough invested. I can keep going at a pretty good clip. Somebody asked me the other day, Preacher, when are you going to slow down? I don't know yet. When it hits, I'll know. But I'm hoping to have enough momentum built up to where I can keep on going even if I have to slow down a little bit. I'm just not going to stop pedaling. I might not pedal as fast,
But hopefully I'll be going downhill and I won't have to, amen? Folks, don't forget the lesson from the wash machine. Let's not get ourselves all out of whack. Let's not try to skip cycles. Let's not try to go back and get certain cycles. Let's just let life go through its natural courses. Let's live each one. Let's build up the momentum so that when God pulls us out of the wash machine, he says, Shazam, these are ready to go. Wash and wear, amen? That's what God wants in our life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. A simple, maybe even silly lesson to some, but I think a very important truth. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you by name. I won't even come to you. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, tucked away somewhere inside that sermon something I needed. I personally needed that today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, if you need to use this, you raise your hand, you come to this altar just to pray, you come. If you've been saved, never baptized, you'd like to do it, we can take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized and want to join the church, we can take care of that. But whatever the need, you come.